7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Got a mostly cloudy sky, 36 degrees. It is Thursday, April 21st. Thank you very much for waking up with us here this morning. Well, time to talk a little more Wahpeton history with our favorite historian, Jana Gagelin, our Thursday tradition. I love this segment.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I enjoy the research and, you know, finding a story or two. Sounds
right. And people stopping you at grocery stores going, I think I've got an idea.
Yeah, well, that would be great.
Right. Well, today we've been kind of on the baseball theme.
We are.
And baseball's got a rich history here in Wahpeton. What are we talking about today as far as baseball?
Well, you know, a rich history is just, you know, totally right. In the research that I did for today, I mean, I would open a newspaper and there would be baseball for maybe high school legion organizing, the amateur organizing, and the semi-pro, oh, this guy's going to go with them, and college. And it was all on the sports page at the same time.
Right.
So, yes, baseball is just ingrained in our culture.
And we talked kind of about the semi-pro stuff last week, and we're going to kind of focus now on the college.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so I found some information back from like 1928-29. And so there wasn't a lot in the newspaper, but what you have is mostly names. They didn't really cover the stories real well as far as writing it. They would just say this was the game and who won, who lost, and that sort of thing. But we do have Skip Butte. He was the baseball coach for the college here back in 1929-28.
Okay.
And when baseball ended here in 1963, who was the coach? Skip Butte.
Skip Butte.
Yeah. So, I mean, he probably was a player at one time.
Sure.
You know? But so if we go back to 1929, it says that they're going to have a practice game against Hankinson High School. And it'll be at the Wells Park. And there's a, if you look at the list, there is a name that stands out, which is Patterson. And I think maybe it probably would be Gordon Patterson.
Sure.
That would be my best guess. And then the opponents would, in the future, would be Valley City and Mayville. So their travel wasn't really very far.
Right.
And then in the 30s, there really, if I could find anything, it would have been just a very little bit. So I think in the 30s, they sort of stepped aside because of the 30s being the 30s. And maybe they didn't have that kind of an enrollment. Maybe the students who would have played weren't attending college. But we went a decade without being able to find much of anything.
That's incredible.
Right. And then you get into... Go ahead.
No, it makes you wonder what was going on.
Right, right. I don't have access to all the old yearbooks. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they had a picture and sometimes they didn't. And then you get into 40s and now you're into World War II.
Yeah.
And so then again, we skip out on some years of history. So I had to jump ahead to 1949 or 48 for this one. And this was the team was playing. Now we're at Chehinkapa. So we have our,
we moved from Wells to Chehinkapa.
We did. Yeah.
All right.
Took us a while. But we were playing at that particular time NDAC, North Dakota Agricultural College. NDSU, a four-year school, and we were playing them. That was part of the league that we were in.
That's amazing.
And they had Mayville, Concordia, and, of course, Moorhead Teachers College. So we didn't have to travel very far. The Moorhead teams kind of liked that because then they could draft some of these players for the Twins, and the Moorhead, Fargo-Moorhead FM Twins.
Sure.
So not really any names to mention there because they didn't give you any. And in 1949, nothing there either. They just say that we lost.
We're real in-depth on the reporting.
Yeah, it was a struggle. They did say that, you know, okay, they produced four runs on two hits and the pitcher had some wild pitches and some walks, but they end up losing 6-5. In 1950, they were going to open their season. Again, Skip Butte, his name shows up. Beanie Anderson, I don't know, must be a local name, but other names like Larson, and they only gave you like last name.
Last names,
so you had
right.
No idea who they were playing on the team, who was playing on the team, but there was Nellermo.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it? Yeah, Ken and Pete, both of them. Nellermo, I think maybe is a name from this area. 1951, we had Bud Anderson pitching. don't know Bud. We have to get into the 60s before I can recognize many of these names. But this is a little story there, that he lacked control for his pitching. And Severson came in the fifth to finish on the mound for the Wahpeton team. They lost 5-1 to Morehead State.
So we don't know much, just that he had control control problem pitching.
Yeah, he walked people.
That's what you call lean sports journalism.
Very
right?
much, yes. So 1952, we had Valley City here. The couple names now are starting to show through as like, oh yeah, I could recognize them. Not because they were players for the college, but just because of their name. Like Dan Winters, Jerry Reddick.
Oh, Jerry Reddick.
Yeah, and then there was a flaw. They don't say the first name, but they give you a last name of flaw. So anyway, we didn't have a very good record that year either. But our competition remained the same, Valley City and the NDSU team, Morehead. Concordia kind of went by the wayside after a while, and Ellendale came in. So we dropped a couple in 1953. Again, you don't get the
not a whole lot there.
No, you got a line score, but you don't really have much going on, you know, although we lost 16-6. So.
But the names are starting to get to be familiar.
Yes.
So.
And so now, 1954, we had Jamestown, Valley City, Mayville, NDSU, Concordia, and Morehead State were on the schedule. So it expanded a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one returning letterman, Trendy Haugen from Winemere.
Okay.
And then we had, Eddie Dahlgren.
Eddie Dahlgren.
Yes, a Wahpeton product. You know, I remember Eddie as a player in softball. Because that's what happened to a lot of these baseball players. They just went to slow
Turned
pitch.
Turned to softball. Yeah, slow pitch softball. That was huge here for a while.
Oh, yes, very, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember Eddie because Eddie played in the same team that my dad did, which was Bud's Cafe. And they won the state championship. And then Cy Hermes.
Okay.
Jim Bokinski. Ron Severson. He says Wahpeton, but maybe Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give a Lensmeyer, but they don't tell you which one.
All familiar names,
yes,
though.
Yes,
all
but we
all
get
familiar
last names.
Names, right.
Yeah, so that was from the yearbook of 1954.
Unbelievable.
Yep, and it says Eddie Dahlgren was going to be the mound, would have the duties on the mound, and he played Legion baseball last summer with Treddy Haugen, and they sparked the Barney Baseball Club. So now we're going back to amateur again. It's everywhere.
Is that the shirt you're wearing today?
This is the Barney, yes. And
okay.
These are the colors, and this was the logo that...
The red and white.
The Barney baseball team had.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was a whole nother story. 1955, we had 43 people at the college who wanted to play baseball for Skip Butte. And, of course, Eddie would be the mainstay on the mound again.
Sure.
And now we added Ray Flaw, Bill Singelman. I know Bob. I didn't know Bill. But Art McClure, Lee Steffens, Doug Lensmeyer must be the Lensmeyer from 54, and then Ron Severson again. But that's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot to choose from.
No kidding.
Amazing. You know, that now we're in the 50s and people are, you know, some of the athletes are coming and staying here locally as students too. 1956, well, we got 7 returning lettermen. And again, our opponents are the same. Nothing's changed there. But now we add the opening line for this is the baseball outlook at the state college or state school of science is not too bright. For Earl Skip Butte. Not too bright.
Doesn't sound real promising.
No, and there's no byline, so you don't know who wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
But now we got Danny Lensmeyer, we got Bob Lensmeyer, Danny Winter, Leroy Anderson, Gary Johnson. These are all Wahpeton names. Ray Flaw. So, yeah, they kept their, you know, sport going.
Right.
Just not a lot of information, you know, a lot of football information.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Danielson. This one comes up in 1958.
Okay.
Bob Danielson. Pinky Deering must be a nickname. Mike Vanyo. Now we add Ellendale to our schedule.
Got it.
Yeah. All right. So here's the 59, picture of the 59 team. And there are a couple names I recognize, or faces that I recognize there. Lyle Schlofelt.
Lyle. I do remember Lyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot of umpiring of baseball later on.
Yes, he did.
And again, he was a softball player. And I think Dwayne Timian would be the one that's in the middle on that picture.
Okay.
But, you know, names of, you know, I mean, they had students from all over. That list of the ones from 43 different, you know, people trying to play the game. I was like, whoa, they're from everywhere.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So you try to pick out the local ones. 1960, we're still playing in town here and at the park. So that's good. Valley City's coming. 1961, we're getting towards the end here. Valley City is coming, and Mayville are same opponents. Now we add a few new names. Johnny Morris.
Okay.
Mike Warner. Pat Ruddy. Arden Anderson. Jim Sturdivant. Roger Jensen. Pete Hermes. I mean, now we're getting names of people that
I've heard of a few of these
families
guys, right,
that we
right.
might be able to recognize. And, you know, that's pretty cool. There were some Breckenridge fellas also on the baseball team. But, you know, those are the ones that we now can say, okay, I remember those people. So 1962, this is from the college yearbook. And, again, it was a lot of the same people that we had. It's just kind of cool to see them at the dugout, the old dugout, which was actually a dugout.
Yes, it was.
You went down the steps and you played at that park. And, you know, that saw a lot of games, obviously, John Randall Field now. But
you got it.
1962, not much to mention here, although we did win a couple. We beat Allendale 8-2 and 5-1. And there were some games that needed to be rescheduled because of the weather, like the weather this year.
Yeah.
So then in 1963, it's a wrap. And we still have, now we have Bill Sturdivant and some of the other players are, you know, there. And, you know, again, it's down at Chehinkapa, which brings back a lot of memories for lots of people.
Right.
And then they tried to revive it. Now, I remember when Al Grage came here to coach, they wanted him to start the baseball program. And he's like, but it's spring and it's cold. And, you know, we can find people, but we can't find good weather here.
Right.
So, you know, then now
it's still a problem.
Yeah. And now we've brought it back for the last two or three years. And they actually, the science school team, the Wildcats, actually go down south and get a spring season, you know, there where they can actually play.
Right.
Rather than, you know, earlier they were talking about pitching in the gymnasium at science and running and batting. And, you know, it's hard to run an indoor practice, that's for sure.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Jana, good stuff as always. And now next week we're gonna continue this.
Right.
In kind of the baseball manner.
Yeah. We kind of started with stuff that, you know, was there way back when and then how it's kind of filtered into the other areas. So we'll talk about American Legion / high school. They're kind of the same.
Yeah.
You know, we have baseball, but again, you know, they might have said that they'd have baseball, but it really was something that they played during the summer, not during the school year.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Janet, always great to have you in. Yeah, appreciate it. Yep. We'll see you next Thursday.
Okay, sounds good.
All right,
good.
Jana Gageland talking Wahpeton history. We are discussing baseball. That is the topic, and we'll continue on with this next week. It's 8:21 here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly